Parshas Miketz. Parsha begins Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim Yomim, as at the end of 2 years, Ufaroi Choleim, and Pari had a dream, Vihine Oimin Aliyor, and behold, they were standing by the Yor. Simple question. Miketz Shnasayim Yomim. Shnasayim means 2 years. Yomim means days. What does the pasuk mean? Shnasayim yomim. It should say Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim. Shnasayim means 2 years. What is the word yomim doing over here? The Rashbam says the reason why it says yomim is to tell us that it was exactly 2 years, complete years. There's a concept of ben shnasay. Someone, if an animal is ben shnasay, he's within a year. You already give him the title of a year. So if it would have been a year and 1 day, it could have said Shnasayim, and you would think it was a year and 1 day. It doesn't have to be 2 complete years. Yomim teaches us that it's complete years. And by the way, Targum Unkel doesn't even say anything about it. He just says, V'hava misayif tartin shnin. It's at the end of 2 years. He doesn't seem to type the word yamim at all, unless he's learning like the Rishbam. That means complete 2 years, from day to day, a complete 2 years. Interesting pshat from the Noyam Agodim. Noyam Agodim says, B'derach Drush, he explains this pasuk. He says, Miketz ze sheheketz balayla. It's referring to one who stays up at night. Shnosayim yomim. Shnosayim meaning referring to his sleep. He's staying up instead of sleeping. Yomim, he makes his nights like days. Someone who is heiketz, he keeps himself awake, and instead of his time for sleeping, he instead stays awake. Obviously we're talking about learning Torah, but we'll get to that. Then he makes his nights like days. Ufaroi choleim. Ufaroi, the pasuk in Shema Yisrael Mebeis Hafei says a lashon of faro, which means a lashon of to nullify, to be mevatel. So the word paroi can mean it to be nullified. Choleim. Kol chaleim is ra. Someone can nullify and get rid of all of his bad dreams and bad thoughts. Vihine oimed al yor. And behold, oimed al yor. He'll be standing above the yor. The yor, he says, is a remez to the soid in Torah. Yor coming from the word lashon of or, as we mentioned numerous times already. Or is Torah. So he's going to be standing. Yor is a lashon of the Seidus HaTorah. So someone who is able to, who keeps himself up awake at night, at night time, he has an opportunity now in the winter. Miketz always comes in the winter time. When you have long nights, someone who is able to capture that, the moment, take hold of the night, and learn Torah, he makes it like days. And he accomplishes, he has more days of his life. When we count a person's days of his life, you say he has X amount of days, but if he can take his nights and make it equivalent to days, then he basically can double his days in this world. And Teres HaMincha says, Teres HaMincha was a commoner of the Rajba, Yaakov Skili. He says that, he asked a question. Why didn't the Yevarim just kill Klal Yisrael? They hated Klal Yisrael. Why didn't they just kill them? We know that they tried to get them to convert, but why didn't they just kill them? He says is that the Yevanim were very smart people. They realized that as long as Klal Yisrael keep the Torah, they cannot kill them. It doesn't matter how strong they are. It doesn't matter how great their weapons are of destruction. It's all irrelevant. If Klal Yisrael have Torah and they learn Torah, they have no chance. The only way they had a chance to destroy Klal Yisrael was by doing this, where they try to get Klal Yisrael to not want to learn Torah, to take away all the mitzvahs, to forget Hashem. It says in the Medrash that even the shtoris, the Klal Yisrael used to have, the shtoris used to have the name, the Shem Hashem in it. It didn't allow it. They didn't allow it, the Yevanim didn't allow the Shem Hashem. They wanted Klal Yisrael to forget their Ribono Shel Olam. If Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, would have forgotten their Ribono Shel Olam, then they could have killed them. He says an interesting time, not just that he wanted to get them to convert. He wanted to get them to forget their Ribbono Shel and then kill them. They also didn't like Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just to get them to convert. And the key, what we have, that the Yevanim tried to take away from us was the Torah. And Baruch Hashem, they were not successful, because as we know, the Chashmonaim kept the Torah, and that's why they had a minute amount of people that went against the Muhammad in the Yevanim, and they were Menatzeach, they won. The Shach al-Torah says, Yomim is the lashon of Yomim is that these 2 years that Yosef, we're talking about Yosef, he was languished in prison for an additional 2 years. He was already in prison for 10 years, and a pasha shot in the Medrash, because Yosef in the end of last week's parasha, he asked the Sarah Mashkim to go the Leizacha Sarah Mashkim instead of Yechayiv, but Sarah, but he asked the Sarah Mashkim to tell Paro to get him out, and because of that, Medrash says that he was stuck in the Beis HaSaya in prison for an extra 2 years. The Shach says that Yosef accepted the Gezerah from the Bnei Shalom with the Hava. Yisurin, someone has Yisurin, whatever it may be, the Bnei Shalom is running the world, and he accepted it with the Hava. When he accepted it with the Hava, which means is that he didn't become all discombobulated, he didn't get all confused and didn't go into a stupor. He sat down, and Shach doesn't say this, but Pash says he learned Torah. He continued his Avodas Hashem those 2 years. So Shach says Kiyomim, that these 2 years, it was 2 years, but it was like days to Yosef, because he had tremendous habit to burn Shalom. It wasn't like he was sitting in prison and he just couldn't handle it, and every hour and every minute and every day was something terrible for him because he's sitting in prison. To him, he was sort of on the side. It was not relevant, because this is where the burn Shalom was geyser. He accepted it with the habit.
Considering all the other mitzvahs we shall say, why the chatchila did he have to ask the Sarah Matkim?
It's an excellent question. Excellent question. It's an excellent question, and I don't want
to
go.
It
will take me a while to explain this, and therefore, I have a sheet over here where I wrote about it this week, and maybe it can help answer your question. But this will take a while. But it's an excellent question. I came up with a pshat that if I carried. Yosef, it was the Pashut Pshat in the Medrash that seems to say he got punished. He didn't really get punished. Taka didn't get punished, and the reason why he asked was he asked for the Sar Mashkin's benefit, not for his benefit. It's a shmooze, so you can look at it, but I don't want to go way off topic. But it's an excellent question. Says in Bereishis Rabbah, Kol ha-chartumim, all of the chartumim of Mitzrayim, they all came to try to explain what Paro's dream was. All of them. After they all came, and Yosef then came, and Yosef was the only one to say, there's going to be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and so on, and he was believed. Medrash says that if Yosef wouldn't have been in prison, he wouldn't have been the last one to be asked. And if he wouldn't have been the last one to be asked, so all the other people afterwards says, oh yeah, yeah, I would have said that, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, yeah, me too. So when Yosef would have been officially telling Paro, giving him an interpretation of his dream, it wouldn't have been Yosef exclusively, and Yosef wouldn't have risen to the power of Yisrael and Mitzrayim, because the other people would have jumped on the bandwagon and said, oh yeah, I also was going to say that. So it was because Yosef was the whole reason why Yosef got to where he was. He ended up being the number two man in the Mitzrayim, was because he was sitting in jail. Because he was the last person to be asked, that's how it all came about. That's what it says in the Bereishis Rabbah. Very interesting that Vayihi, the word Vayihi, is a lashon of tsar. Vayihi miketz shnasayim yamim. It was at the end of 2 years. Vayihi is partially, the Gemara seems to say that Vayihi is a lashon of tsar. But the Gemara goes then back and forth, and it says that the only time it's for sure a lashon of tsar is where it says the word Vayihi bimei. Ahi bimei achashayosh, ahi means bitzar. But if it doesn't have the word bimei, it could be it's bitzar, it could be it's not bitzar. It could be either one. That's what the Gemara comes at. The Gemara Megillah goes back and forth. Actually, we can explain over here, Vayihi, a lot of the Mefarshim ask, what does it say Vayihi over here? What's Vayihi Mekechen Asayim Yom? What is the Tzar over here? One sheet is that Yitzchak died on this day. The day Yosef was freed from prison, Rosh Hashanah, that Yitzchak died. That's one chat. But maybe the chat is that Vayihi means it could be for Tzar and it could be for good. A person I learn who has Yisurim, and things are not going his way, how does he take it? Does he take it with a hava? Does he utilize his time? Or does he say, listen, times are not good, you know? This is, you know, you can't function. You can't do what you have to do. Heard that Rav Palm, before he became Geber and Techinuch, he was at a point in time where he couldn't find a job. He was not able to find a job. He lost his job in one place, I think it was. He couldn't find a job. What did he do? He had 2 years until he found a job. He was going to, he was going to go work in a post office even at one point. He ended up not. But he told his Talmidim years later, and they asked him, how do you know Kachem? Kachem is not a general Masechta learned in the yeshivas. How do you know Kachem? He took those 2 years when times didn't look so good. He didn't have a position. He had no income coming in. That's why he was going to go take a menial job, not a job in Torah. But he took use of the time. It was Yisurin. It was inherently Yisurin. It was not easy times for him. But he made the most of it. He didn't just sit there and say, I'm lost. Yosef took control of these days. They were days. They looked like bad days. And he was sitting in prison another 2 years. He thought 10 years he was going to be out, and it's 2 more years. He took control of the situation and he used it a little tight, and that's why it says Yamim. They were mamash like Yamim. They came and went very quickly because he utilized it properly. The whole beginning of the parasha, we know, talks about Parai with his dreams. He's bothered by it. He asks all the Chatumim Mitzrayim, what happened? What does this mean, dream? What does this dream mean? Interpret it, please. Why was Parai so concerned? People have dreams, and they wake up in the morning, and they go back to sleep the next night, and whatever. So you had a dream. Skinny cows, 8 fat cows. So what? Who cares? What's the difference? Why was Pari? Pari was like, this is like his mission over here. He's going back and forth, and Yosef told him, and he was asking, to the extent that it says that why, one of the pshatim is why did the Sar Masha end up telling Pari about Yosef? He didn't want him. Why did he do it now? Because he was scared. Pari was so desperate to find out what his dream meant, that had he found out that the Sar HaMashkim knew that there was a guy in prison named Yosef, some Jew, who was in prison that could have interpreted that dream and he didn't tell him, Sar HaMashkim would escape. Pari would have chopped off his head for this. Pari was in such a rage that he needed to know what his dream meant. Why? Poshet Pshat, the Chochma Nachla says, Parai understood nature in a certain facet. Rabim, many, can defeat Miut, can defeat Ma'atim, can defeat less people. Fat cows can eat skinny cows. If Parai would have had a dream that the fat cows ate the skinny cow, he would have woken up and said, okay, I had a dream that fat cows ate the skinny cows. Who cares? Wouldn't have cared. It bothered him that he had a dream that was Keneged Hateva that he knew. It doesn't make sense. It's not possible. He could not fathom that while there's a Teva in this world, the Rebbeinu Shalom runs this world, and anything could go, it can make no sense according to the rules of Teva, and it could still happen. That's what Pari was in. He couldn't understand this concept. He didn't want to understand this concept. Mitzrayim was a very powerful country. He didn't want to hear the concept that 7 skinny cows can swallow up 7 fat cows. In the nice Sefer from Chaim, that there was once a guy comes to Chaim and he starts telling him a pshat, and Chaim tells him it's like completely wrong, and he starts telling him he's wrong, and Chaim says, okay, no problem. The guy leaves and his Talmidim ask him, you never let anybody just walk away. You argue with them and you tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. Why did you just say, okay, no problem, okay? He says, listen, If someone tells me that 1 plus 1 equals 3, I can sit there, I can try to explain it to him, I can explain to him why it means 2, why it doesn't mean 3, we can go back and forth, we can discuss it, but I have a chance of explaining to him how 1 on 1 is equal to 2 and not 3. But if someone thinks 1 on 1 is equal to a box, 1 and 1 is equal to... there's no way possible to explain to someone that 1 on 1 is not equal to a box if that's what he thinks. Harari was so set in this concept that there was his nature and his only nature, he couldn't think out of the box. None of the Chatumim Mitzrayim were able to think out of the box. Why didn't anyone else come up with this pshat of Yosef? Simple pshat. Skinny cows, a fat cows, skinny cows meaning years of famine, fat cows being years of plenty. Why couldn't any of the Chatumim Mitzrayim think of that? Because they also, they couldn't think out of the box. So then it came through their mind for a second maybe, and they said, not possible. There's a Teva in this world, it's just not possible. And that's why Yosef, who understood that the Ibn Shalom runs the world, and there's no such thing as Teva connected to Ibn Shalom, anything can happen. And therefore, Yosef was able to come up with this shot. It's interesting that the Aruch Chaim says that the Pari actually had this dream for years. Actually 2 years, he says. He had a dream for 2 years, every day, and every morning he forgot it. He woke up in the morning, he forgot it. He knew he had a dream. It was one of those annoying things. He knew he had a dream. He knew something was important in that dream. But he woke up in the morning, he didn't remember it. At this time, by Yehimi Ketron Asayim Yomim, now it was time for Yosef to get freed out of Mitzrayim. Now he remembered, and that's when the whole story happens, how it ends up that Yosef ends up coming out of the Beis HaSeah. It's very interesting that according to the Shaias and Chuvah Binyan Shlema, he says that these Mitzrayim knew their stuff. They knew that their Bnei Shlom paskins the mazon, the food on Pesach. This is Rosh Hashanah time. According to Parshat Pshat, according to Medrash Chazal, Yosef got freed on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time that is every individual gets judged. Not a time that the world gets judged for food. So they said it's not possible to be anything to do with food. If it was Pesach time, every one of the Chatumim time would have said it means that there's going to be years of famine, years of plenty. But this is for Shanah time. Shanah time is a judgment for individuals. Each individual comes in front of the Baruch Shalom and is judged. Yosef, it's amazing how Yosef, after he tells Pari the dream, he tells him, by the way, you should make me the second in command. You should make me the king over here. Where did he get this tremendous chutzpah? I mean, the gall to come over because he interpreted the dream. So, the pshat is that Yosef said, you want to know what pshat that's Rosh Hashanah and you're having this dream? This dream is not it's not a dream about the food of the world. It's a dream about me. Everything is happening. I'm the only one that's able to interpret this dream, so I can get out of Mitzrayim, I, Yosef, and I can become the second in command in Mitzrayim. So he was telling Parai that the reason why I'm coming to you, he says it was all from Hashem, but he says the reason why I'm able to come and interpret the dream is because it's Rosh Hashanah time, and there's a psak din for me. And the psak din for me, Yosef HaTzadik, is that I'm going to become the second in command. So everything else is a side point. It's not really a judgment. The judgment for what was going to be for the year happened Pesach time. There's a judgment on Pesach. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. That was already judged on Pesach. The reason why I had the dream now, Rosh Hashanah time, was because this was a psak din for Yosef HaTzadik himself.
And Yosef
had the rule number one. And number two, Yosef was a great tzaddik, and he realized Ben Shalom had a plan. Yosef also had dreams. And those dreams, when he told the Shotim, he knew they were going to come true. It's put down in Chazal, and when Yosef had those dreams and he told the brothers, and the brothers also knew it was true, and that's why they hated him. Because the dream was that they were going to be bowing down to Yosef. When Yosef saw where he was headed, and he saw what was going on at this point, it was pretty obvious that he realized what his track was at this point. There's a ma'isa that there were two princes that were on a train. And they pulled into a station, And outside, right outside the station, there was a whole band. There were people playing drums and guitars and all basses and all different types of musicians were all playing, a big crowd, and everyone was cheering. The princes were there. Each prince was so full of himself, convinced, they started arguing that the band is there for me. The other guy says, no, the band is here for me. And they're going back and forth. No, no, it's not here for me. If I weren't here, there would be nothing here. Going back and forth. And finally they see some little Jew standing on the side. It's Pesach time. The Yid had no money. And they go over to the Yid and they say, we want you, we're going to ask you a question, and we want you to answer us truthfully. He says, wow, if you want me to judge, adjudicate a case over here, you got to pay me something. If you give me 50 ruble, I'll tell you what I think. Okay, they give him 50 ruble. They give him 50 ruble. And they say, no? So who's the band here for? Is it here for me or for him? So the Yid looks at them and says, neither. It's not here for you. It's not here for you. It's for me. So I can get my 50 ruble to go buy food for Pesach. Have a nice day. What's the aside? The Bnei Shalom runs things. We don't always see it. We don't always understand it. But the Bnei Shalom has his Hashgacha Pratis to each and every individual. Hanukkah is all about that. Hanukkah, we see where the Bnei Shalom was with us. There was the oil there. There's a pshat from the Be'erach Moshe. He says, Neis Godel HaYosham. What is Godel? A miracle is always great. Neis Godel. We spend the dreidel, Neis Godel HaYosham. What is Godel? He says there's a sign called Godel and a sign called Ram. Godel means that there's something very high, like you have a high tree. It's rooted in the ground, it's rooted down here, and it goes very high. Ram is referred to the Bnei Shalom who is in Shemayim. Ram Al Kol Goyim. The Bnei Shalom is high above all the nations. He says that Godel only refers to Klai Yisrael. Bnei Shalom is only Godel compared to Klai Yisrael, and it's Ram Al Kol Goyim. Why? Because Godel means is that it starts down here. The tree's roots start down here. It's higher and above, towers above everyone. But Lamai said, we feel the Ashgacha Pratis. Klai Yisrael knows it's Ashgacha Pratis. The Goyim, they don't see it. It's here. It's here for everybody, but they don't see the Ashgacha Pratis. They don't acknowledge the Ashgacha Pratis. So they say, the Bnei Shalom is Ram HaKol Goyim. He's up there. They don't feel the individual Ashgacha Pratis. Neis Godel HaYisham, the Bnei Shalom gave the opportunity by Hanukkah for us to see in action that he gave us the oil, that the Bnei Shalom is Ashgacha Pratis, the Bnei Shalom is with us at all times. It says a little bit further in the parasha, it says that, Mayikra Parashem Yosef Tazan Zat Panayach, Vayitan Loy Es Asnas Achbet Yishfer Koyhen Oin Li Isha, Vayitze Yisrael Es Mitzrayim. Vayiten loy es asnas vatzvayt yifera koyin oin li isha. He gave him asnas vatzvayt yifera for a wife. Yetzi Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. And then Yosef went out on Eretz Mitzrayim, which means he became the Viceroy of Mitzrayim. It seems in the Pasuk, because he married Asnas Vatzvayt Yifera, he became the second in command. What's the connection? What's his connection to marrying Asnas to becoming the second in command? The Alter says that Bas Putifera means that she was really from Putifera that we had the Sarat HaBachim. The Sarat HaBachim where Potiphera, this is the whole Maisa that Yosef officially he attacked Potiphera's Ashes Potiphera, and that's what ended up putting him in jail in the first place. So this was the proof that he never did anything, because Potiphera would not have allowed Yosef to marry his daughter had he ever done anything to his wife. So this was free Yosef of all the previous allegations that he ever did anything. This is what proved it, that he married her, and because of that, no one had any questions anymore that he wasn't Roy. If not for that, the people would have said, this guy is a lowlife, he can't become the Vice of Chaim, he can't act like Potiphar's wife. But the fact that he married her, it showed that he never did anything, because otherwise he certainly wouldn't have allowed her. I say that also is a very interesting chat. He says, Osnas is not, he disagrees with this Al-Sheikh, and he says that Osnas is actually Bas Dino Ushchem. Shchem, we know Shchem had a child with Dina, and this is Osnas. All the Shvatim, he says, all the Shvatim, the brothers wanted to kill this baby, because it was degrading to them, that what Shchem did to their sister, and they didn't want a sign that there's a child from that, and therefore they wanted to kill that baby. Yaakov Avinu gave the baby an amulet. She put it around her neck. She hid it in the thorn bushes. That's why she's called Osnas, from a sneh. she hid in the thorn bush, and then she was taken to Mitzrayim, and there Poitifera raised her. So it could be actually that maybe they'd say that it's not arguing on the Al Sheikh, because he raised her, maybe she still called her daughter. It says that when Yosef was becoming, he was about to become the viceroy of Mitzrayim, Yosef went down the streets in Mitzrayim, and all the ladies in the streets were all throwing their jewelry at him, trying to attract his attention because they all wanted to marry Yosef. Yosef was a very eligible bachelor at this point. And they all threw their, whatever they had, their jewelry, the tachshitim, and Asnas threw this amulet. Yosef saw this amulet, he recognized it from Yaakov Avinu, and he married her. He realized the gavos. The Biskarov says that on Purim, the Iker is Tefillah. On Chanukah, the Iker is Milchama. Chanukah, we know, we don't say anything about the Kaisel Davend. We don't say that anyway. It's a Kaisel went to war. On Purim, we see the Kaisel Davend. For 3 days, they fasted, they davened. We know that there was a war. I'm sure on Chanukah they also davened. But we see Purim was where they actually davened, and Chanukah was a Milchama. What's Shat? Biskarov says Mardi. Everything's in the hands of Shemayim except for Yerushimayim. Yerushimayim, a person has to get by himself. By Hanukkah, the Yevonim were trying to get rid of Klal Yisrael's Yerushimayim. When they're trying to get Yerushimayim, you gotta take matter into your own hands. You gotta take weapons and you gotta go fight for Yerushimayim. You can't allow them to do it. Purim was the exact opposite. Purim was where they were trying to kill Klal Yisrael. Killing them is not that you're taking away the Yerushimayim. What do you do then? You don't go fight then. Then the Iker is Tefillah. Then you have to focus on Tefillah because they banish them once the world. Yosef was in the Tumah land of Mitzrayim. He was able to look for these signs. He saw the amulet of Asnas. He looked for the Ashgacha Pratis of the banish Levim. And with that, he's able to be Menatzeach, as you see in Chanukah, Yishtak Vizeicha, to see the Gula Shleim Behem Amen.
Amen.